A Prime Time with Clarissa Montero replay from Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon, it is Clarissa Montero. Now, turning gems into stories, that's what homegrown Atelier RN Order of Blink's founder has been working towards since she started operating just under 5 years ago. An Order of Blink's customized jewelry pieces are said to have a certain je ne sais quoi, often attributed to their founder's personality. She's in the studio with me right now, Sarah Zitan. Zitan.
Yes.
No, okay, I got it. At the recent Singapore Jewelry and Gem Fair, she joined a panel consisting of industry veterans and up-and-coming designers to discuss the evolution and challenges faced by jewelers in the industry. So we're going to talk a lot more about that. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Clarissa. Thank you for having me.
It is my pleasure. Now, first and foremost, when and why an Order of Blink? How did it come into play? Why did you pick that name? Tell me everything.
Oh, okay. I actually started dabbling in jewelry about 5 years ago. And I started officially designing then with a very dear friend of mine called Eleanor. But in 2016, an Order of Blink was born. So I decided the reason why I wanted to do this was because I wanted to take on more risk in terms of my design and fulfill my lifelong dream of bringing some of these crazy ideas that pop into my head and make wearable art. When I was toying with a name, I decided on an Order of Blink because, to be honest, it's kind of like a play on the name. Mm-hmm. I want people to order jewelry from me. But I think I've always been very intimidated shopping in jewelry shops because
all of us are intimidated shopping in jewelry shops.
You know, when you walk into a jewelry shop, it's always very quiet and it's always very serious, and you're almost afraid to ask the price of something that you may like. So I wanted to bring it a little bit closer to the interested consumer. So I gave it a fun name, Blink.
You know,
I thought like, ooh, I love the bling, right? Mm-hmm. But actually, in this industry, there is order in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. Right down to the millimeter precision of the designs that we create, or, you know, how we grade diamonds or shades of colors in gemstones. Everything has an order. And so, you know, it's almost like an OCD's dream. And having these two things come together and be a juxtaposition of each other, I thought was quite fun. And so I decided, yep, let's call it an Order of Blink.
All right. And an Order of Blink was born. Now tell me, do you have a physical store, an online presence? How do you get your orders in?
Okay. Currently, I work out of an office now in International Building along Orchard Road. Mm-hmm. So it's a by appointment style. Mm-hmm. And it's been by word of mouth. So the people who have experienced an Order of Blink will tell their friends about it, and then their friends will come and make an appointment with me, and then we'll see how, you know, I can help them fulfill their design ideas. Do I have an online presence? It's coming. Currently now, my website is more an art piece than it is a display of the work that we can do, because until not too long ago, I've been a one-person circus monkey. So to kind of manage a web store and, you know, try to still produce designs for my customers, I found that quite challenging. And my customers are my primary focus. So web store is coming. It will be there soon.
All right. So I was going to ask you about the challenges that you face setting up your business and challenges that you face growing your business.
Ah, okay. So the jewelry business, I have to say, have very high barriers of entry. Mm-hmm. It's a really tight and closed-off network. And for me, I think the hardest bit about entering this industry, having no family background, most jewelers out there, you would read about them.
Generation.
Yeah, second or third generation, yeah. Right? I didn't have that. But the biggest challenge I faced was really getting the traditional craftsmen to actually produce some of the pieces that I wanted to make.
Yeah.
Because, like the ideas that I have. For example, I have this ring called the Propeller Forward Ring, and it's
which
really,
I see on your hand right now.
Yeah, which is really a 18 karat gold fidget toy, right? It's got a custom built in spring box that you can wind up and watch this ship's propeller blade kind of just whirl away. And you know, when I first brought the sketches and the ideas to my craftsman, he was like, "What?
Are you sure?
And it took quite a while. We had to iterate the ring 4 times over before we got it correct. And just for me to convince him to say, you know, do this, took at least 3 weeks to come back and say, okay, let's try. So, you know.
So you had to build trust with the people who made your...
Yes.
But that's every industry. When you get in for the first time, there has to be a trust factor between you and your suppliers and your...
Yes.
And your trading partners and stuff like that, right? Okay, so some similar challenges to setting up any kind of new business.
Yes.
We are talking to Sarah Z. Tan, founder of An Order of Bling. Gems, that is something that I think almost every one of us at some point has toyed with the idea of, wouldn't it be nice if I designed my own jewellery? Wouldn't it be nice if I, you know, traded with gems, semi-precious or otherwise? Mm-hmm. I think all girls at some point have had this fantasy.
Yeah.
You went from fantasy to a reality.
Yep.
How hard was it a decision to make?
Oh,
okay. Or how easy a decision to make?
Yeah, I think it was difficult. It was definitely not an easy decision because the money at play is quite a significant amount. Mm-hmm. And like I always joke, my children's university money is at risk now. But I think what happened was I took really small steps. Every step of the way, a new door opened, and that then allowed me to make the next business decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I first started the business, I said to my husband, even if I failed, all this is still worth something. It's gold, you know.
We can melt it down.
Yes.
Now, is the jewellery business, the precious gem business, slowing down?
Actually, I think the financial crisis, we had a huge one, right? Mm-hmm. Every industry was affected. And to a certain extent, the jewellery industry in Singapore saw a slowdown as well.
Mm-hmm.
Recently at the Singapore Jewellery and Gem Fair, had a chance to speak to some, you know, captains of the industry and also government officials. And they were saying that the industry took a slowdown because of certain things that happened in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like the implementation of the GST. So what happened was a lot of the buying that was done in Singapore kind of moved to Hong Kong.
Mm.
And so I think the jewellery trade in Singapore, which was really booming, I mean, I don't know how many people know this, but Lawrence Graff, the king of diamonds, mm-hmm. launched his career here in Singapore in the old Robinson's departmental store.
Right.
So Singapore was really, you know, a trading hub of sorts for the jewelry industry back then. And if you had come from such a high point, you know, to have GST kick in and then suddenly see, you know, the business kind of dwindle down,
it would have also had a correlation with the number of tourists coming in and how long they were staying in Singapore as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the
many factors.
Yeah, many factors. And the financial industry, like I was saying, was a big the financial crisis was a big turning point as well. Suddenly people were not really, you know, allocating budgets to...
Because it's a luxury product, after all.
Yeah. It's a luxury product. But since then,
mm-hmm.
very quietly, the people in the know, anytime you have an asset where the price is knocked down, you will have the guys who come in and start
just
to
like
slowly...
Just like the stock market.
Slowly pick up.
If the price is dropping, there is an investment potential there. They will find a way to buy it. Okay.
Exactly. And, you know... if you say that the industry is not doing well, in coloured gems,
mm-hmm.
the records set at auctions now are surpassing any amount they have ever done. So, for example, there's a company called Gemfields. In June 2018, they set a record auction prices for just ruby alone. Revenues were $71.8 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I think with the younger generation, colored gemstones are getting more and more popular because they're unique.
Yes, yes.
You know, as opposed to a diamond is a beautiful stone,
yes.
But a diamond is a diamond, it's a diamond. Your diamond looks the same as my diamond. It's just how big is yours and how big is mine.
Yeah.
But with colored stones, there is something unique about it.
Yes.
Yours is going to be slightly different
yes.
from your friends.
Yes.
And so that makes it a bit more interesting to people who yeah. want to buy unique pieces to treat themselves.
Yes, correct. And also with colored gemstones, there's some that are birthstones as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. So that it gives a deeper meaning, you know, to the piece that you have, especially if it's your birthstone, right? It's meant to attract good energy and prosperity.
Keep you calm.
Yes, keep you calm, clear-headed.
Customizing jewelry, not a new venture, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you set out in it, and I'm looking at that ring that you were talking about. What did you call it again?
It's the propeller forward ring. It's meant to remind you what you're pushing yourself every day forward for.
It is a unique piece of jewelry. It's also a very fun piece of jewelry
yeah.
that you can wear dressed down, wear jeans, and you can also wear it with a business suit, which is kind of fun and,
yeah.
and very unique. But there are other people in the industry who are doing that, the customizing jewelry. So what sets your collection apart from other jewelers in Singapore?
I think I dare to push the imagination of my clients.
Mm-hmm.
When they come in, you know, I will take the time to sit with them. And I think the difference also is that when we talk about customization of jewelry, a lot of people think that this is the reserve of the super wealthy and everybody else just has to buy retail, right? So my business, to a certain extent, is coming forward to say, hey, look, there's a small company out here who is willing to sit with you and go through what you like, how you style yourself, why are you creating this piece, what is it meant to encapsulate. And I think I always push the customer to go a little bit beyond the design and say, let's put some meaning into it. More than just that. What are you trying to remember with this piece? Or who are you trying to remember? Or when you give it to someone, what do you want them to remember about
sure.
this piece?
Yeah. Sure. And that's very interesting because that personal touch, I suppose, from both ends. When you work with somebody to create something, whether it's a piece of jewelry or a song or whatever,
yes, yes.
or a poem
yes.
at a wedding, that becomes unique to that person
yes.
and that moment in time.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. We're talking to Sarah Zitan, founder of An Order of Bling. Okay, now let's get serious. You were a panel speaker at the recent Singapore Jewelry and Gem Fair. Tell us about that experience. Tell us what your takeaway from that experience was.
I was so honored to have been sitting like next to the greats and the likes of Michael from Caratel, Danilo, you know, who's been working with jewelry all his life. You know, he started out as a 7-year-old in Italy,
mm-hmm.
Going to the workshops and learning. And also Sarah Teza. These guys have been dealing in the industry for a long time, and they have some amazing designs and gemstones. And for them to consider having me, this newbie, sit on the panel and to have my voice heard, it was a huge honor. I think my greatest takeaway from that panel discussion was the fact that all of us, we were trying to say, what can we do now, knowing that Singapore has such a unique position in the world? We are truly a multicultural and cosmopolitan city. How do we pull all the flavors in from, you know, all the influences we have from the different cultures
mm-hmm.
to create a uniquely Singaporean design flavor that we can then show the world and be really proud of? You know, look, crazy rich Asians about Singapore, right?
So how do we create that crazy rich Singaporean style
yeah,
is what
yeah,
you're saying.
Exactly
okay.
right.
So where do you see an order of bling in 5 years? What do you want to achieve?
I think I would like for this company to be known in the market to be a company that creates very meaningful pieces that are real collectibles for the stories they help their owners tell. Also, from the point of view, craftsmanship, the rarity of the gems that we use, or just the ideas that we put into the designs for the company to be known, to allow our clients to create collectibles. That would be an amazing feat for me.
Because I remember my grandmother said, and we talked about my grandmother.
Yes, yes.
Before I turned the microphone on, my grandmother used to say, nobody owns jewelry. They're caretakers of jewelry.
That's right.
Before you pass it on to the next generation and the next generation.
Yeah.
So pieces that you're creating now with your individual customers could be on the hands and wrists and in the ears of a great-granddaughter.
Yes.
Those pieces could outlast you.
Yes, correct. And therefore, based on that, I've pushed out a series called Writing with Diamonds. Mm-hmm. The idea is for you to write a word or a sentence or a cluster of words that have meaning to you, that mm-hmm. you want to give someone in your family, or maybe you give yourself, but then you can pass it down to the next generation. And you would use your own handwriting to write these words. Mm-hmm. So many years from now, that piece, for example, a granddaughter would receive it and hear, hey, this was grandma's handwriting. And I think that.
And this word or these words inspired her.
Yes, correct.
What a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
And on that wonderful thought, and I can already imagine what mine would be, but I don't have daughters.
Give it to your son.
He'll be wondering, what am I supposed to do with this? Okay. It's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming in and talking to us on Money FM. I look forward to bringing you back.
Thank you.
And you telling us where your business has progressed to and what you're up to in the future.
Thank you very much, Clarissa.
You're Money FM 89.3.